And so the mound of the Lord is where God is speaking to you right now by the Spirit. And he's saying, this is what I want right now. And if you'll do this, there'll be a level of the glory of God that you have not had before that I'm going to deposit in you. Now, due to the Moses' human weakness and the fact that the law cannot inherit the promise, Moses was denied entrance in the promised land. Amen. Right? That's what happened. But Moses would enter the glory in a way that the old and new generation who failed in the wilderness, they got a piece of land, but he got God. Hallelujah. And a lot of people use this, you know, people like to give preachers pep talks, you know, about don't hit the rock. And you know, we have to be careful as ministry, right? That we're always giving the glory to the Lord. That it's not us delivering God's people. It's the Lord doing it. Amen? And there's a lesson for us in that. But I believe that Moses got the better end. The first generation died in the wilderness. They got the wrong land. The second generation entered the wilderness, but they didn't keep the land. The Bible tells us that they won many battles, but then they began to find that the women of these countries were very attractive. And then there began an intermarriage going on. Remember that story? And this is why we find the book of Judges. After Joshua's elders die, now God's people go back to business as usual. And the whole book of Judges is about 300 years of apostasy. Where God's people, and that was the result of this younger generation. So they did the same thing. It just took them a little longer to apostatize. But they still apostatized, and they still left the Lord. But Moses entered the glory of the Lord. Now he enters the glory in a couple different stages. He'll hear the glory, he'll see the glory, and he'll enter the glory. How many want all three of those? Amen. And we see this in Exodus 33. Now Moses had to make a second trip to Sinai. And Moses thought he was just going up there. Remember how he broke the tablet? And I'm glad nobody was near him. He might have hit them with it. He broke the tablet. But then he went up on the mount. Now, the first revelation for Moses is he's going to go up on the mount to get the table of law. And that was a wonderful visitation of God, being in the presence of the Lord. The second time in Exodus 33, verse 16 to 18, where we're going now, Moses will go up for the second trip. He'll receive more on this trip than he did on the first one. On the second trip, he not only will get the renewal of the covenant, amen, but he will receive the instruction of the feasts of Israel. And the feasts were all about God giving. Remember, the children of Israel were instructed to give out of the harvest, amen. They were supposed to have a Thanksgiving too and have the Lord in the center of it, giving the Lord his portion. That was needed, wasn't it? And all types of things are given. The pattern for the tabernacle, the first church, which is called, Stephen called it, the church in the wilderness. Now, if you put that title on your board, you wouldn't have anybody come here. Because most people would think the wilderness is an empty place and that church is probably empty. But you know, wherever Jesus is, even two or three gather in my name, I'm in the midst, he says. Amen? And so here's the Lord. And so Moses goes up for a second visit to the glory of God, and he's going to get more than he did the first time. Because the Lord wants to bring us beyond the law. But the Lord wants us to bring into us hearing his glory. And so we see this in, we want to look at verse 16 to 18, Exodus 33. And Moses begins to get stirred in his spirit here. And Exodus 33, verse 16 to 18, he said, "For when shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou will go with us, so we shall be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing, and thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight." And how many love grace? I love grace. "And I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." There's something higher than grace. It's called truth. And truth will always birth you into glory. Praise God. And he said, "I will pass by and make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And I'm very grieved by people that think the old covenant was just full of judgment. I'm very grieved by that. It shows people who would have no understanding, they're dull in their understanding. There was a lot of mercy in the old covenant. We see that. Goodness and mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. He desired not just to be separated as a special people by the grace of God, but he desired that the glory of God would be fully revealed to him. It wasn't enough that he would run around with a bunch of people who never did recognize they were separated unto God. But he himself wanted the glory of God. He said, Lord, this bunch doesn't want it, but I want it. Amen? And so often we're affected by the lower realm backslidden family member or Christian that we know, who we think a lot of, they like a watered down gospel. We're not supposed to be following that example. If you want to grow in God, find the most spiritual person in this church and hang out with them. Amen. Now, we don't worship them, but we don't hang out with the weakest Christian in the church and think that we're going to grow. Sooner or later, that weak Christian has to find out that they need God. And right? And the Holy Spirit can draw people to him even when we can't. And so there's times that we need to let the Lord draw them. He would stand upon Christ, that is the rock. And when you're talking about the rock in the Old Testament, you're talking about the rock of salvation. And so he could hear the glory of God, which is the goodness and mercy. And so Moses is listening, and in chapter 34, it's very dynamic. The goodness and the mercy of God passes by. Now, the Lord, this rock will save him from being destroyed by the glory. Now, the same person who saves us from being killed by the glory in the Old Testament will save us for the glory in the New Testament. Amen. And when the glory of God hits you, you feel like you're dead, like John, the book of Revelation. You feel like, my God, I'll never again rise up to speak for you. I'll never be able to survive another day. But whatever the glory of God brings down, the glory of God brings up. And I want to go on God's elevator. Amen? Where God is. And God says, whatever I bring down, God says, I bring you low, but I will exalt you in due time. And so we see the glory of God coming in such a way. Would you say that Moses passed two tests on Mount Sinai? And he passed the test of Horeb. That's three tests. And a lot of people say, well, this Moses had this one failure. No, God wrote him off. God doesn't write us off for one failure. Amen. And I pray that this will just get a hold of us in such a way. Stop feeling you're failed, God. Because if Christ's in you, that means he never fails. That means you didn't fail. Amen. God considered it just human frailty and human weakness. What we call failure, God says human weakness. Human frailty, right? We mourn over somebody we've lost. Does God hold it against us? Absolutely not. Why? Because he was human also. And he mourned the death. He mourned the death of Lazarus. It's not recorded, but he probably mourned the death of Joseph. Can you imagine a man who taught you to be a carpenter? And all of a sudden you see him disappear. That's why he's able to comfort us. Because he himself as a man experienced these same things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. One more mountain. Then we're going to show you the arrival point. When I go on these trips to overseas, Arlene and I usually have to sit for a number of hours in Miami and wait for our plane to come for Columbia. But we're sure glad when we arrive. I remember it was India or somewhere we went, and the airplane took us to Los Angeles, California. What in the world were you doing over there? And then we had to even sit there. We were stuck in this airplane. And so these things happen in our journey with God. Sometimes it looks like we've gotten stuck. We're in a rut. But you know, sooner or later, God begins to get his engine going and the purpose of God for our lives. And he begins to bring us to the goal that he has for us. Amen? We just have to wait on him. Amen? Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 34, Moses is coming to the end of his life. The Bible says that when Moses died, they didn't even let him find. God wouldn't even allow Moses to be his body to be found, so he wouldn't be worshipped. And a puzzlement to me is Moses will be buried actually in Moab. It's an idol-worshipping country. You know why? Because God claims all these places for him. And how many missionaries, Brother Clayton, have died in heathen lands? And they've been the seed of the church in that country. He's buried in Moab, a place of idolatry. A country that will continually turn its back on the Lord. They were the abortion country of that generation, Moab. And yet in the book of Ruth, we see the Lord call a bride for himself out from the land of Moab. Amen? And so the Lord was sowing seed there. This land belongs to me. Praise God. And so he goes to a place called Mount Nebo. And you know the word Nebo is named after a Babylonian god. My word, why would God bring him to a mountain that's named after a Babylonian god? Well, Jesus Christ died on Calvary, and he took all the sins of the world upon himself there. We can't question God. Amen? And God's saying, even Babylon is mine. Iran, Iraq, these countries that kill more Christians. There's going to be a great revival in these places, even for my name's sake. Praise God. In Deuteronomy 34, the Lord's going to give him a view like he's never seen before. And you know what? What I like about this, he already knows he can't cross over. It's been very clear to him. He'll pass the test of Mount Nebo. He won't go to the mountain with resentment. He won't go to the mountain with, God, can I talk to you one more time that you would cross over? He surrenders to the will of God for him. And some people said that at people's death, or close to their death, the greatest surrender comes upon them. Christians that are near death, an incredible surrender comes. And some of them go painless, and some of them actually witness Christ and angels taking their spirit from them. Praise God. Maybe death is not as gruesome as we make it. Maybe God visits us at that time. Amen? God visited him at his death. God was there with him. How would you like God to perform your funeral service? No preacher was needed. No, Israel was there mourning him. But God was the officiator of this one. God officiated it and allowed him to see something. Praise God. Let's read the first four verses. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab onto the mountain of Nebo, Pisgah, and over to Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan and Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees under Zor, all the places that Joshua would take for the Lord. Amen? And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. Amen. I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So in Exodus 33, he hears the glory. But in this chapter, he sees it from afar off. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that if you saw the glory of God face to face, you would die. But the end of this chapter says that Moses saw the Lord face to face. But somehow in Exodus 33, he only gets to see the back part of God. How many remember that? And yet, let's look at the last couple of verses here. And it says in verse 10, there rose not a prophet since Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. How many see that? Hallelujah. When did he see it? He saw it at the burning bush. And he saw the kingdoms of the glory of God from afar off. Amen. And he will arrive, and we're going to close this message at Luke 9. Amen. Now, some churches say amen when you're ready to close this. I'm glad you're not like that. Some churches say amen when you're ready to close the message. But this church doesn't do that. Why? Because you like teaching. You have great teachers in this church. You always have. And God wants us to absorb. Amen. Praise God. So, let's go over into Luke 9. This is where we final. We see something really interesting in Luke 9. Now, the Mount of Transfiguration experience is mentioned in Matthew and in Mark. And all it mentions is that when the disciples went up there, and how many know Jesus was with them, that Moses and Elijah were with them. That's all it says. But that's not what it says in Luke. And we're going to see this. Luke is different. How many are glad for all four Gospels? Whatever one fellow forgot to say, the other one remembered. Praise God. And so, we see Luke 9, 28 to 31. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And we see here that the man who went passed all the tests of the mountain, that he received his reward in the mountain, didn't he? And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who, look at this verse, who appeared in glory. Does everybody see that? They had glory. And all it says in the other two Gospels is that they were there. But in this chapter, it says that they appeared in glory. That means they received a reward. And your reward is higher than just being in heaven. Oh, I made it. Thank God. I didn't think I was going to make it. And most people are just thankful to be in heaven. First thing I want to do is look for Jesus. Most people want to look for grandma or mama when they get to heaven. But we should be looking for him. And we see here the glory is there. Praise God. Golgotha, where Jesus died, is considered a small mountain. A lot of people don't know that. Jesus passed the test of the mountain for you and me. And a lot of people don't know this, but Elijah the prophet, at a time of defeat and depression, Elijah was a man of like passions. After a mighty battle with Jezebel, he wanted to throw in the towel of his ministry. And it was in Mount Horeb where God appeared to Elijah. And on the wind of God, remember that? Began to blow everything apart. An earthquake came. And that's what happens in Horeb. There's a lot of shaking going on in there. And there's poor Elijah. He's all defeated. But the Lord didn't want him to die. Why? Because he needed to commission three people. Three key people that the Lord wanted him to raise up before he left. Amen? Praise God. Elijah passed the test of Mount Horeb. And the Lord says, what are you doing in this cave? It was in Horeb. What are you doing in there? He said, well, I'm depressed. Nobody was worshiping the Lord like I do. Everybody, you know, the whole Israel is backslid and I'm the only one left. And God says, I have 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Now you get out of this. And Elijah said, okay, Lord. You know what? The Lord don't mind a little argument long you give in. To some people, their disposition is they never give up. They got to argue to the last minute. Job was like that. Job was arguing all through that book. Why am I in this? He didn't blame God. And God doesn't even tell Job why he's gone through what he's gone through. All God has to say to Job is, where were you when I created everything? What he was saying was, don't you understand, Job? I was behind all this. I was behind it. The devil didn't have control. I had control. And so God wants us to enter the glory of God. And then Thessalonians tells us there will be a people that will obtain the glory of the Lord. Amen? And I'm thankful that I sat under ministry. The ministries that I was trained under, their specialty was the glory of God. And you know what? When you teach on the glory of God, you thin numbers out in a hurry. Because often we want something other than the glory. But I pray today that you'll want his glory. Amen? That you'll be like Moses. Show me this glory, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. I want to go deeper. Amen. Amen. You know, the conventional wisdom will be, you know, we got a Sunday morning crowd. We got a big crowd. Let's go a little easy, a little short with the message. Maybe evangelistic. Maybe the Lord wants to stretch you out. Those of you, he wants to stretch your appetite. So he brings some American that preaches close to an hour every year. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord wants to stretch us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord could fill the house tonight as well?
Amen.
See? No, the Lord don't go easy on us. If you go to a Bible college, you'll find that out. God wants us to go further in him. He doesn't want you to settle for just hearing him. Job said, I used to hear, but now I see him and I know him. May there be a people here in Durham that will press for the glory of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm thankful that you like my jokes. But my jokes are hopefully pointing you somewhere. I'm pointing you to him. Amen. And that you may grow thereby, by the word of the living God. Amen. Just stand to your feet and let's have a word of prayer together before I turn it over to Pastor Terry. Amen. The Lord is stretching us today. Amen. Praise God. That we might have a higher understanding of the glory of the living Christ. Father, I pray for this congregation at this time of year.
Yes, Lord.
And we are thankful, oh God, that you haven't given up on us. Lord, we remove the complex, that Egyptian complex, the slave mentality that says we have failed.
Amen.
We remove the spirit of the orphan from us that says that God has forsaken us. But we receive the spirit of the son that says, Daddy, Daddy,
Lord,
be close to me at this time.
Yes.
We thank you, oh God, for your servant Moses. What an example he was. Lord God, he paid a terrible price at times. Lord, he performed more funerals than any other preacher. Saw, preached and preached and preached, and he saw more people die than live. But now he rejoices in the glory with you. Now he's in the place, Lord, where there's no more opposition, no more people wanting to stone him. We're grateful that you've given us these servants in these lives, even in the Old Testament, that are a great example to us. I pray that you'll open up this church to the higher level, oh God. We thank you for the wonderful things that came out of the homes in Zion, Lord, here in Toronto, Lord, and in Zion, Illinois. We thank you, Lord, for the Brother Gardners and the Lord Brother McKinnons, Lord, and all these ones that have gone before us. That you've opened the way that we can be where we are now. But we pray, oh God, that you'll bring us to the finish line. Lord, that you're not done with us.
Amen.
And I'm grateful, Lord, and I feel privileged and humbled to be among us such a company of people here in Canada. For I know, Lord, this land is your land. And that you've claimed it to the glory of God. Lord, we're not putting our trust in Trudeau or in Trump. And Lord, we know there's a big, big crowd everywhere, Lord, rallying around this one and that one. Lord, but we are rallying around Christ.
Yes.
We are not putting our trust in a prime minister or a president,
Amen.
No matter what they say.
Hallelujah.
We're putting our trust in the living God.
Yes.
Bless the leadership, Lord. Strengthen Brother Terry, Lord. Yes. Sister Elizabeth, Lord Clayton and Judy and many others who've labored here, Lord. Jeff,
yes.
Lord, and his dear wife. Many who have labored here for years. Decades. It has not been in vain. We have not run this race in vain. And Lord, we shall see the glory in the end of it all. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.